You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So we're in our motto verse service. For those that have been around for a little bit longer, can you remember previous motto verses? 2016 was the first time I did one. Can anybody remember who was here? 2016. Can you remember what that first motto verse was? 6:33. Does that ring any bells? Matthew 6:33, that says, "Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well." Actually, Jesus' words that he said. And that was written up there. And if you actually start looking around the building, if you go into the Hardiman room, the tall windows on the left-hand side, as if you had different motto verses, I've actually sign-written them on the bottom part of the window. So when you go in there, you will start to see the verses around the room. Now we started to do the back rooms, we've got four more windows, and we've got two motto verses that aren't up yet. So we're doing quite well. What about 2017? Could you remember that one? No, you're a year, unless I'm not hearing you right. That was last year. Yes, that was last year, wasn't it? Yes. So we've got two more years in front of that. Anyone remember who was here? Joyce, can you remember that one? If I started doing digging, would that remind you? Scott, shout it out, Jazz. Something about unplowed ground. It is something about unplowed ground. It was from Hosea 10:12 that we went through, and it said, "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." That was quite a long one to remember. So it was Matthew 6:33, and it was Hosea 10:12. If you got your notice sheets this morning, you're not allowed to look now that I've told you that they're there, but they're in there. So if you want to go back and look these up, for those that are peeking, what was 2018? Can you remember 2018? It's a good challenge, some of these. I'm looking more to this side of the room, really. It was Isaiah. Come on. Isaiah 43. It says something about, it's like an Oasis song. Don't look back in anger. No, it wasn't that. It was, "Don't look back to the former things, because see, I am doing a new thing." Yeah, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see what's going on? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." It's from Isaiah. It's from the Old Testament, talking about God that was doing something new. And what was last year's? Micah? No. Amos. Amos, you know it well. Come on. And righteousness, cracking. It's a good Chris Bowater song. I remember Chris Bowater, he wrote a song around that. Yeah, "Let justice roll like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream." And actually, righteousness seemed to be coming through these verses. There seemed to be that thread of righteousness coming through. It's interesting looking at the dates as well, because I don't know if you remember back in 2017, I was drawn to, and this will be new for some of you, so this will be a memory for some and new for others. Who reads the car number plates when you're going along and you see it in front, you think, I wonder what they're saying? Well, when we got to 2017, others don't. They're going, "You sad people, you need to get out more. You must do it. You must do it now." You look and you go, "If that's an S and that's a..." Oh, I see what they're doing. I was drawn to that with around 2017, and it was just this thing that kept coming into my head. I'm like, why on earth does God keep like saying car number plates to me every time I looked at 2017? And actually, I'm afraid I was out all yesterday. I was going to get some nice PowerPoint on the screen. I didn't get a chance to do it. But if you take 2017, if you can imagine 2017, if you get the 7 and you turn it upside down, that looks like an L. And then if you do the car number plate thing, a 2 can be an S. So you had S-O-I-L. And I thought, it's soil. God was talking about 2017. 2017 was about soil. And when that verse came in, you know, break up your unplowed ground, I got a real sense that God was saying 2017 was a year where there'll be lots of things turned upside down. There'll be lots of ground that would be broken up. Now, whether that was 2017 or if that was a time that was coming, I really felt God was saying that to us. So, of course, when 2018 came up, I thought, I wonder if we can make anything out of 2018. And again, you'll have to imagine this, but you've got 2018. If you actually turn that all the way over, you get 8102, yeah? Which looks like B-O-I-S, BIOS. Now, there's a few computer nerds around here. If you turn your computer on, what's the first thing the computer does? It boots up the basic input-output system. We've got a real geek in this morning. Thank you, Mark. But what does the BIOS do? The BIOS tells things that don't naturally know how to communicate with each other, how to function, how they're connected. You know when it says that the computer says, I cannot see the printer, you can't turn your monitor around and go, there it is. You know, this thing has to have some language. It has to be connected in some way. And the BIOS is part of how the computer can start to talk to each other. That basic input-output language. There needs to be something that's actually in there that allows the computer to communicate. And I looked up BIOS in the dictionary, like you do. And this came up. Actually, if you look up the Greek Strong's number, 979, if you'd like to look these things up. This was a definition. BIOS, it's God's gift of physical life, animating all creation to live and move and have its being. Figuratively, it's the way a person invests or spends the gift of physical life. That was the BIOS. And therefore, when we looked at that verse of 2018, you know, see, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? Something's now springing up. I was kind of getting quite excited about this. So, of course, when we got to 2019, I was thinking, what can you make out of 2019? And I couldn't make anything obvious. So I'm like, because you've got to be careful with this. You can start going, actually, this turns into a little religious thing, and you start saying, oh, we've got to try and milk this somehow. It wasn't until we got to the end of 2019, and I was preparing for 2020, that thought popped into my head again. We didn't do 2019, but what about 2020? And then someone with infinite wisdom came up and said, well, actually, I don't claim any credit for this. 2019 does say something. It's an anagram. And actually, if you take the middle two numbers and you flip them round, instead of 2019, you get 2019, you get 2109, which actually looks very much like S-L-O, what's the 9? A G. 2019. Would you say 2019 was a bit of an S-L-O-G? And you know, I think it's not just Limbrick Woods. It's a slog, yeah. So many people had a very challenging 2019. We've had a challenging 2019, and it did feel like a slog. But you know, there's so many churches. You know, the church over in Rugby that lost its pastor. There's all sorts of things that's been happening. And for a lot of people, bless you, if you had a good 2019, you could have had gloss if you had a good 2019, but I think for the majority it was probably a little bit of a slog. It was a bit of a tough year. But if we believe God is in charge and his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts, which I think, Elizabeth, that was a verse that you brought to us one Sunday morning, wasn't it, as we were praying out the back, and then it kept popping up. And I think God was saying, hey guys, you know, not that it's not about you. It's not that we're not important. Of course we are. But actually, I've got a kingdom plan, and there's some things that are going on. And if you and I feel like it's a bit of a slog sometimes, it can be. It's not easy being a Christian. Jesus says it was never going to be easy. And look what they did to our Savior. But he says if we follow him and we follow his ways, then he will have his purposes worked out in our lives. And we should get the joy of serving him. Otherwise, we will start to think it's all about me. And it didn't go quite how I wanted. So that brings us to 2020. If you take the twos as S's, we have S-O-S-O, so-so. Now, again, I did look that up in the dictionary. And if you put a little hyphen in the middle, you end up with so-so. But I don't think that's what God was saying. That, you know, like, how was last year for you? So-so. You know, I don't think that's what God was saying. I actually, if I could maybe stretch it out a little bit further, to add that W at the end. God is saying to us, so, like as in planting, so and so again. There's some gain, there's some increase from our labor if we sow something and we look after it. And if we look after it at the proper time, at the right time, if we don't give up, and this fits with our motto verse for 2020, it says, you can read it up there, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we don't give up, if we don't give up. And I looked up this word so-so because I'm thinking, am I really stretching this out somewhere in here? What is the Greek and Hebrew? Does so-so appear? Well, actually, if you go back into the Hebrew, so-so is actually a name. It's quite a popular name now. It derives itself from the Hebrew name Yosef, meaning Yahweh has added. He will enlarge. God will increase. May he add. Which in turn, it says, derives itself from yasaf, which means to add, increase, do again, increase, and do again. This is the meaning of this name, so-so, which I think from 2020 is quite encouraging. It to add, increase, to do it again, increase, and do it again. What is God calling us to for 2020? What are we sowing into? So I wondered, is it that tenuous after all? Can I get away with my sowing and sowing? Of course, you might be sitting there, the Greek scholars amongst us, and not just so-so. What could it be if it was Greek? What do you think? Sozo. Well done. Top marks. Sozo. And actually, what does that mean? That biblical sense of keeping safe, that biblical sense of rescuing and delivering and saving. And that idea that we're called to that, you know, the Gospels are full of that principle of saving people. I had a whole list. I was going to put it in the notice sheet. But if you look throughout the Gospels, it's always talking about the Lord saves. He saves. He saves his people. They are safe. They are protected. So what is God calling us to in 2020? Now, I'm taking a couple of numbers and turning it into words, but I felt that God was saying something to us, and I think both fit within that context of that motto verse. I think another thing I just want to highlight with this as well is that the Galatians verse, it calls us to persevere. And as a church, that's got to be an encouragement to us at the beginning of this year. To give that verse some context, Paul has just asked the Galatian Christians to be convinced once again that when they actually trust their flesh, when they trust going after all the things that they need, then actually he's saying that ultimately leads to your destruction. I found quite an interesting blog post as I was doing some research on this. And this blog post, I thought, spoke about the flesh and trusting in the flesh. And it put it quite nicely like this. It says, reliance on our own power only leads to decay and death. That is true whether we trust human effort to save us by following the rituals and sacraments of the law or by following our own selfish, sinful desires. You see, salvation comes only by planting the Spirit. Through faith in Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, God gives to us his own Spirit, and only that Spirit will deliver eternal life in the end. He continues, Paul urges the Galatians not to grow tired of doing good. Doing good is hard work. Do we agree with that? Particularly if it's toilets. Doing good is hard work, especially if someone begins to doubt whether it matters or not. And Paul is urging the Galatians to keep living in a way which is consistent with what they believe. We sung it in the song a minute ago. They are free people in Christ, and God's Spirit is with them. Eventually, the crop of eternal life will come up and they will see it for themselves. Now, the encouragement for that is, and again, just looking back, because we're at the beginning of a year, and you start to look back and say, how far has God brought us? One of the phrases, and we like acronyms here, but it seems to be something happens in church. Some churches, 3 points everything. We seem to like acronyms, or I seem to like acronyms. But if you can remember back, those that have been here for a while, when I first came, I thought the thing that God said we should be doing is living well. Living well, and that well was something that underpinned everything. Everything we do should be done well. And well stands for, shout it out if you remember, what does the W stand for? Worship. Everything we do should start with worship. If we're not connected with God, what are we doing? If it's not God's will or God's drawing to us, everything we should do should start with worship. Now, the thing is, I don't know about you, but when you connect with God and God tells you to do something and it goes well, what do you do? Do you keep shtum about it? Or do you go and say, you won't believe what just happened? Do you know what that makes you? That makes you a natural E, which is a natural evangelist. You know, we have all these courses about how to be an evangelist. Do you know what? Connect with God, do what he says, and you will be a natural evangelist. You'd have to make stuff up. You will naturally, you can't help it, you will not believe what God has done today. Now, then the human part, I think, kicks in a little bit, and it's good, because once you start stepping out on the water, you start going, well, hang on a minute, I've connected with God, and I started telling people about it. What if they ask me some questions? I better do a bit of L, a little bit of learning. And we do. We press into God's word, don't we? We grab hold of God's word and we say, wow, okay, Lord, I've connected with you. I can't help keep shtum about it because it's amazing. But I need to learn a little bit more. And when you do those three things, what do you live? You live the perfect life that God intended for you. And if you're not living that life and you're at that place and you're saying, particularly at the beginning of the year, Lord, what have you got for me? My encouragement to us all is we've got to reconnect with God. You've got to start with God. You've got to go back there. And if that means being on your knees for the next week and just saying, Lord, I ain't moving until you tell me what my next steps are. Lord, speak to me. Connect with God and wait on him. And then you will be living well. Now, we have this well. What is the well full of? What is the source of the well? And what is the well full of? One word. No. Something a bit more spiritual, a bit deeper than that. Water's good. Living water. What did you say? Love. That well is full of love. It's the source of that well. And everything that God does for us, his motivation is love. And I think for us, when we draw from that well, we draw that love. And love is the thing that builds up a church. Not knowledge, not rituals, not religion, not doing things we've always done them. Love is key. And if you want to have a little bit of a study, 1 Corinthians 8, I'm pretty sure I put it in there. But just as an encouragement to you, you know, we want lots of knowledge, but actually knowledge puffs us up. When we know stuff, we get puffed up. And Corinthians warns us about that. Knowledge puffs us up while love builds up. And love builds up. And this is why there's this whole idea of, well, worshipping God, naturally speaking about him, naturally gossiping the gospel, learning because we love his word, we fall in love with his word, and we live that life. Love should be the thing that comes out. If we have misplaced or incorrect knowledge, it can puff us up and it can actually lead to destruction. And I think maybe we've seen a little bit of that throughout 2019. We've got to be careful whether it's about knowledge or whether it is about love. And then a new year comes along. A new year comes along, a new start. And I think that context, that 2018 motto verse that says, don't look back to the former things. See, I'm doing something new. On a very practical note last week, I don't know, who was here for the service last week? A few people. Terry took a piece of paper and he actually had that piece of paper. And he said, you might look back and you might see stuff which is torn. You might be able to tear that piece of paper up and say, this is what my year looked like. It's all torn up. And God, you can have that bit and I've got this bit. And whoa, you can have that bit. And it's all, you know, you can kind of, you can say, that's how my year's been. It's all torn up. But how do we deal with those things? And if it is broken, well, rather than God giving God part of that, what Terry was saying was actually, look, just give God the whole thing, all the bits. The whole lot. Just give it to God
and let him sort it out for you. So by way of encouragement to us this morning, as we start to look forward to our next series, we're going to be looking at quite a lot of prayer. And how did Jesus teach us how to pray? You know, give us today our daily bread. Every day is new. And I suppose the question is, for a lot of us, what are we carrying from yesterday into today? What are you going to be carrying from last year into this year? Maybe worse than that, you've already said what's going to happen later in the year for you. Oh, I'm not looking forward to, or this is going to happen. And we've already forecast it and projected what's going to happen. This year, you know, we can give our stuff to God. If we keep carrying what we're not supposed to, I think that's where our motto verse kicks in. When you're carrying stuff that you shouldn't be carrying, what do you become? Weary. And maybe for some here this morning, we are weary. So how do we not become weary? How do we not grow weary? How do we learn to start each day afresh? Well, it's interesting, that motto verse looking back to 2017 about breaking up your unplowed ground. As I was thinking back to this year, of course, you reflect on this, don't you? And you say, well, Lord, what did you say before? And I kept having a picture of a freshly plowed field, which kept taking me back to that motto verse or that picture that I got in 2017. Remember 2017, turn the seven over, it makes soil. What was that all about? The trouble with that was, and the picture I think I had is a field. I kind of remember a field like this as a kid. We had our shortcuts across it. It was a shortcut to school. And somebody else had a shortcut there, and then maybe somebody kept something on it. And then it grew up over a number of years. And then there were little dens and little bits, and this field didn't look like a field anymore. It's the stuff where I used to play, and other people used to do stuff. And then one day, you go to school, and the field's been ploughed. Everything's gone. That naughty farmer has come and ploughed up my path that I'd trodden across his field. What right did he have to come and plough up my path? But it was never my field. And when the farmer comes and ploughs, well, why has he ploughed it up? Because he wants to plant something and there's going to be a harvest. And it will be at the right time, in the right season. So with this 2020, and you've probably heard a number of 2020 vision things that are going on. Of course, as church, we need 2020 vision, or we need vision as a church. Did you know there's something better than 2020 vision? 2015 vision is better than 2020 vision. You're all scratching your heads now. You go and look it up. 2020 vision means you can see something that's 20 feet away, 20 feet. But if you can see something 20 feet away that looks 15 feet, you've got better than 2020 vision, you've got 2015 vision. Yeah, go and look it up. There's something better than 2020 vision. You only need 2020 vision if you want to be a fighter pilot. Anybody want to be a fighter pilot? Joyce? No. So, 2020 vision. We need vision, of course, as a church, and we will be speaking about more vision casting things as we go out this year, but go through this year. But I believe God is challenging us as individuals as we start this year. You know, if God's ploughed that field in front of you, and maybe for a number of you, you feel, wow, actually anything could happen this year. Some of you might be getting married. You're allowed to sit a bit closer if you want to. Are you sure? What are you going to sow? What are you going to sow this year? You know, if there's that field in front of us, what are you going to sow? What are you going to sow? I'm going to read to you Galatians 6, the context of Galatians 6, where our motto verse comes from. Listen to this. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. It's encouraging. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. In verse 7, it splits off and it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then our verse kicks in. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see, if we reap what we sow, then we need to be wise in what we're sowing. I've said this before. If you plant an apple tree, what fruit will you get? Apples? Yeah. And if you plant a tomato plant, what crop will you get? Great. Can we get apples from a tomato plant? No. You get tomatoes from a tomato plant, and you get apples from an apple tree. It's not rocket science, is it? We cannot fool the tomato plant into giving us apples. And equally, you cannot deceive God either. Galatians 6:7 says, if we think we can, then we're mocking God, and God cannot be mocked. Set yourself up against God and his workmanship, and you will fall. Verse 8 says, whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And that verse jumped out at me so much because we live in a world today which is so self-pleasing. It's so self-gratifying. And I was just massively challenged that flesh needs to be put to death. Even to the point I was asking a question, and I'm not saying this, so I threw it out there in my mind. Could you even personify the flesh? Could that be a spirit of something that is dwelling on all people? Now, actually, James would say we're sinful even of ourselves. But if there's a spirit, if there's something that tempts us, that needs to be put to death. There is something that tempts the flesh. From the flesh will reap destruction if we carry on sowing to please the flesh. No matter how perverse that might be, Paul is being really clear to the Galatians. He says, you need to put the flesh to death. And I think this is a warning to us. If we're only interested in seeking what God can do for us, or maybe we're looking at other people's fields and thinking, actually, your field's quite nice. I've planted tomatoes and I really wanted apples. I'm coming over to your place. You know, if we fancy that other field, that field will give me what I want, and we go there instead, then potentially we will miss the point of God's call on our lives. Remember, God calls us to love. And love is the key. Love conquers all. And we mustn't give up loving. I think the devil wants to rob us, of that love. You know, there's going to be a harvest, and we don't want to miss it. There's a good famous motto, as we're looking at motto verses. Who knows where the motto, be prepared, comes from? Be prepared. Scouts. There's a few. Whoever was a scout. Yeah. Did you do all the? Did you get hit with the woggle thing? Did they ever do the? There's probably health and safety came in by the time you did it. If we were out of line, they formed these two lines, and yet they got their woggle on the end of their scarf. You had to run down it, and you get a good beating. I'll tell you what, you didn't get out of line with that. I'm sure you wouldn't be allowed to do it nowadays. You certainly wouldn't be able to do church discipline like that, that's for sure. Be prepared. It's a famous motto from the scouts. The letters BP, be prepared, was actually the founder's surname. Can you remember who that was? Come on, Baden Powell. Be prepared, Baden Powell. Bonus points. Which year was the scouts started? Mark thinks he knows. Go on. Go on, go. See what? No. Much earlier than that. No. 1900. One more. It's 1907. Yeah, BP, bonus points as well, there you get. Be prepared. Now, when someone says something like be prepared, Baden Powell said be prepared, sounds really good. Of course, some bright spark says be prepared for what? And it's recorded, "Why, for any old thing," he replied. Now, as I was getting ready to go fishing last week, I've got a new fishing trolley that I can carry all my stuff on so I don't have to weigh myself down. And it's got these fabulous wheels and it's got these arms that go on it. The trouble is, to put each wheel on, there's 3 bolts. So there's 6 bolts to put the wheels on and there's another 4 bolts to put the handle on. And as I was doing this, getting ready to go fishing, I'm thinking, surely I can store this somewhere so I don't have to actually do this every time. And I was transported just for a moment back to Portsmouth when I was on my boat. And when I used to get my boat ready to go sailing, I had to sort all the halyards out. I had to make sure they're all connected to the sails. I had to take the sail covers off. You had to take the sail ties off. The fenders were stowed to get the warps ready. The engine was done. Check the cooling waters. All of this stuff you had to do to get this boat ready. And it was so exciting because this was me getting prepared for my adventure. And I think for us here this year, this whole call of being prepared, the more that you prepare for something, I think the more that you've invested, the more you enjoy it. Now, is anybody here a saver, a financial saver? Is anybody a natural saver? Yeah, a few people. You see, my mum never understood as a kid. I'd have to work hard for my pocket money. I had to cut the lawn and do all sorts of horrible jobs. And I got my 50p or whatever it was. But I would buy something with my 50p. I'd buy something for somebody else, and I'd save some. And my mum would say, "Have you always got money and stuff?" And actually, some of that stuff I might buy and sell it to somebody else for a profit. I'd get even more money. But I was a natural saver. And actually, I loved saving for things. There was something about saving. I mean, I don't know about kids today. Matt was talking to me earlier about guitar strings. You know, when you actually save for those things, I remember not only saving, but having to then cycle into town, and I'd probably get there early before the shops opened because I was too excited. I want to be the first in the shop to go and buy the thing that I wanted. And when I'd bought that thing, because I worked so hard for it, boy, did I look after it. I didn't want to break it. I treated it with respect. It's like when you see the boy racers going around the estate and burning up all their tires, you think, you haven't bought a set of tires yet, have you? You know that, how much is a set? I'm not doing that. I'm never doing a wheel spin ever in my life. I'm going to make these things last. When you invest in something, you look after it. When I became a Christian, for me, there was lots of things that I longed for that were suddenly different from the things of this world. And it may be just at the beginning of this year, you know, you're not so excited for what God is going to do next in your life. I know there might be some here saying, "I can't wait to get stuck in. Is there more stuff to build? Is there more people to come in and see get saved? Is there more things to do throughout the week?" And you cannot wait to get going. And for others, you might just be at that place where you're going, "Well, actually, I'm tired. I know there's bugs been going around this year." That shine has worn off a little bit. And where once we were excited for the things of the kingdom of God, you're actually saying to God, "Lord, what's happening? What are you doing in my life? What are you calling me to?" And this is why I think, if you're looking for the writing on the wall, it's on the wall. You know, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, that time when God says, and it's the proper time, there's a proper time for the harvest. You can't have the harvest in the spring, not in the UK. There's a time for the harvest. There's a proper time. We'll reap harvest if we don't give up. And I think the enemy has so many tactics. If you found yourself saying phrases like, "Is this what I want?" And I've been there, I've done it. "Is this what I want? Lord, is this really what I want?" Have you ever said those words, "I'm not getting what I need anymore"? If you're saying that, then meditate on this verse. Take this back and say, "Lord, what are you saying for this year? Can that underpin everything?" It may be just this morning you need to just pause for that moment and just say, "Actually, what's taken root in my life and in my mind?" Maybe there's things you've been growing and feeding yourself. There's a longing or a desire that you know probably isn't a godly thing, and you're actually saying, "Actually, I need to put that to death, but I keep feeding it." It may be that other people are feeding you stuff that you actually never asked for. But my encouragement is this: it's a new year, it's a new season. And I think the farmer's visited. The farmer's visited and he's come and ploughed up that field. And maybe for some of us, we're going, I don't like this. It's not comfortable anymore. May have removed some of the familiar things, comfortable places, pathways, things we've trodden for many years. Even lost some friends along the way. But I think God says, this is my field. This is my field, a fresh field, a harvest is coming if we don't give up. I don't know about new. When it's a new year, I feel new when I put new clothes on that I got for Christmas. There's that newness. There's a when you smell new as well. Yeah, the newness comes. New year. New. You're smelling your clothes now. It smells nicer. A new perfume. Very nice. Newness comes. New socks. Who likes new socks? I saw that thing online and it had underwear that was all ragged and socks that had holes in. And there was something on there like, don't give up, it's nearly Christmas, you know what I mean? I'm going to get a new pair of socks and underwear. And when we put that newness on, it actually makes us feel new. How do we embrace the new? How do you embrace the new? If you had new clothes every day, would it make you feel fresh and new every day? Well, what are we clothed in Christ? What are we clothed in? We're clothed in his righteousness. You know, put on the new things of God. And if you need that this morning, let's just pause. I'm conscious of where the time is. You know, we've got an instant society that wants to gratify the flesh. It's about me, what I want, what I need. Get enough people and it can become law now. You know, the law protects you. You know what I'm talking about, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, let's not try and put things back to the way it once was or the thing that meets my needs right now. Lord, if there's going to be a harvest and there's a field, what am I going to sow? What am I going to sow? And the encouragement is this. Maybe just close your eyes for a moment. God says, be prepared. Be prepared. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.